If you want to be a high achiever, then listen up. On today's episode, my guest is going to answer the question, what separates top performers from everyone else? The answer is powerful, and I think it's going to surprise you. My guest today is Mark Bailey. Mark is a high-performance coach who develops entrepreneurs in leadership, performance, and growth. He's the creator of the Behaving Boldly Blueprint, where he helps entrepreneurs conquer overwhelm to increase impact and income so they can have greater flexibility and freedom in their business and their life. Mark spent more than 20 years in leadership, sales, marketing, and training, including working as a coach with Infusionsoft Keep, where he trained 1,000 entrepreneurs to integrate influence and persuasion to achieve faster results. He's also worked with top 7- and 8-figure brands to coach and train thousands of entrepreneurs within their elite masterminds. We affectionately call him the Chief Onion Peeling Officer because that's what his coaching is like, peeling back one thin layer at a time. And his mentorship has helped me to adopt a similar style of coaching with my clients. Mark Bailey is not just my coach, not just my friend. He's one of those people who's changed the entire way of how I think and show up in life in such a profound way. It's my honor to share this special episode with you, where we are counting down to 100 episodes of the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast with some of my favorite and most influential people in my life. I'm excited for you to listen to this interview. So let's play and have fun. Get ready to experience gratitude for every aspect of your life, even when you're facing adversity and in a way that you never thought possible. Welcome to Gratitude Builds Fortitude, the podcast where we optimize gratitude, mindset, and mental resilience. It's time to say no to that list of three things and yes to gratitude on your own terms. I'm your host, Holly Bertone. I was such an overachiever that I hit rock bottom 3 times with my health, between breast cancer, autoimmune disease, and debilitating chronic fatigue. So I became a mindset coach because it is my mission to help you get through the tough times with greater resilience. Tune in every week for inspirational stories and tactical action plans so that you can find love, happiness, laughter, and discover your own comeback story. So Mark Bailey, thanks for being on the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast, and thank you for being on the special countdown to the 100 episodes. And I know I gave the official introduction, but there's really no way to introduce how special you are in my life and what just an awesome person and awesome coach that you've been for me throughout the years. And I'm excited to just interview you and listen to all of the wonderful gems that you have. And I know you've worked with so many different high performers and high achievers and really have that gold nugget of what separates everyone from everyone else. And I'm excited to dive in.
I'm excited too. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, and I know your client list is a who's who of high achievers in all different industries. Let's just jump right in. Like, you've got a population of people who are like so excited to do the thing. And then you've got the people who actually do the thing. And then you've got the people who actually succeed at doing the thing. So, what do you see as the difference?
Well, that's a really good question and a very deep question. We could probably spend the entire podcast on that alone. What I have seen over the years, though, in working with the high performers and high achievers that you're talking about, is I definitely like to use the word performer better, as in performance, instead of in the achiever. And the achiever is sometimes what separates this is more of the mindset between the one that is working for performance and the one that's working for achievement.
What do you mean by that?
So achievement is, am I going to achieve this? It's almost like you're accumulating assets of achievement, but are those really aligned with what you really want to do? And so when you're looking at performance, it's like you're choosing your performance. You're choosing when to perform. And that has a lot to do with the alignment that you have with whatever your goals are that you're looking for, or even more importantly, what your commitments are, because goals can come and go. But the things that you're really committed to are usually the things that are a priority, which also makes them in alignment with your core values of who you are, what you stand for, and all that. In that couple of sentences right there, there's a lot that goes behind all of that.
There is. And I'm thinking when you talk about performance and priority, I mean, we all prioritize, like we all wake up and say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, which we think is, you know, what's the most important thing. So how do we know that that priority item is in alignment? And then how do we know that that's the right thing that we're supposed to be doing the performance to get the achievement?
Yeah, we all have priorities, but there are different levels of what those priorities are like. And I like to look at the priorities that are kind of like the apex, like the very top. So it's like if you were on a mountain and you wanted to get the biggest snowball ever, you'd want to be at the top of the mountain and pack your little snowball and let it roll until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the momentum that's created when you are starting your commitments from your priority level much, much higher, because we're going to automatically filter what we want as a priority based on some values that we have or our core values. But the challenge is sometimes people aren't taking the time to even know what those are. So you are serving some sort of value, but it might be a lower level value that's only going to get you surface level results. And it takes just as much effort to do the surface level results as it would having the higher level results and commitments.
And I can see that in my community, because there's really that line of, it takes a lot of effort to do the thing that they don't want to do, you know, and then there's a lot of effort to do the thing that you want to do. So it's like, which effort do you want to choose?
Yeah, I actually choose neither one. I don't want the effort. I want the energy behind it.
Mm.
And see, that's the thing that will propel that effort, because the effort is actually the doingness that you're in there. But if you had to look at, I would always choose energy over effort, because energy is something that is leveraged. Effort is something you do one time. That's my philosophy around that. So again, that's going to go to a higher level of the performer that I like to work with. And with your listeners, is really looking at, and I love the idea of the binary action. And for those of your listeners that aren't really familiar with binary action, binary has to do with computer coding. So everything in this world is made up of ones and zeros. So in programming, a computer program either works or it doesn't. There's literally no in between. It's like a light switch. There's no dimmer on it. It's either on or it's off. So when you're looking at what you're doing is with the energy that you have, you've got to choose, do you want to effort this or do you want to energize this? And the energizing can also come because you have these higher level priorities and these higher level core values that are actually pulling you towards your finish line, not pushing you. As you and I have had on some of our conversations, we know the philosophy of you can't push a rope.
I was going to the exact same place. This is one of my absolute all-time favorite analogies, to the point where I actually have this tiny little rope tied up on my desk to remind me that you can't push the rope. Can you please explain what you mean by that? Because this is, of all of the Markisms, this is the best one.
Well, it's a good one. Well, the philosophy of pushing a rope. So for all of you that are listening right now, imagine even if you don't have a rope, get a shoestring or do something like that and just put it in your desk in front of you or a table or something like that. And then take your finger on the left hand of the rope and take your finger on the right hand of the rope or the string and just hold it there. So your left hand and your right hand is where you want to go. Your left hand is where you're starting. So now, if you are using a lot of effort and a lot of stress and a lot of negative things because you just want to get this done, you know, I got to do this. And notice even the language, I got to do this. I have to do this. It's all of this shame language that, you know, shames you into doing something. So if you got the rope here and you've got the rope here and you want to go to the right, it might be opposite of use, but just go with this one being the right. And you take that rope and you're efforting too much. As you start to push that rope, what happens is it's going to start creating a U in the back and it's going to start folding on itself. And pretty soon you're pushing it until you pass this point. And now you're pulling the rope and that's the result that you wanted, but you're pulling it the entire way. It's a lot of effort when you're pushing that rope. What I like to look at it is the left-hand side of the rope, if you're pushing the rope, is what I like to call the willpower. That's your willpower to get something done, but that willpower is finite. It's going to get too exhausting for you to keep pushing that, especially if you're going uphill and now you're doing that. So now when you look at the right side of that rope, when you're pulling it, I like to look at that as the momentum, you know, that you're creating from that. This is pushing. but the pulling it means that everything is still in that straight line, you know, and you're not starting over, you know, from beginning again. So you're pulling that. The pull is the why power that pulls you to the finish line. And that's why that value, that core value or that commitment needs to be greater than any of those other things. Otherwise, you just won't do it. It brings you right back in to the real world. If you've got your string in front of you or your rope in front of you, right? Am I pulling or am I pushing this thing? Am I efforting or am I using energy? Because the energy can compound. You know, when you feel really good and it ignites other people, it ignites ourselves and we just keep going for it. Did that help?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think, and I know you and I have talked too about in my own, you know, personal business, there have been pieces that just feel like I'm, you know, pushing a rock uphill. And then other times it just feels like everything's landing, you know, just like opportunities just landing on my lap that not even trying to do. And really that difference of the push versus the pull, you know, and then also back to that piece of alignment. So how can we actually take this and make good decisions? So we know that we need to have more of the energy over the effort and, you know, to be able to, you know, pull the rope and to use that level of energy versus the pushing. But in order to be a high achiever, in order to really get those outcomes, we also need to make good decisions. And sometimes we think we make good decisions, but they're not. And I know that is one thing that you're definitely an expert in terms of really how to make good decisions. And I know we could talk for hours on this, but what is your perspective of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I don't believe that there's a right or a wrong decision, but I do believe that once you make a decision, it's more about the decision that you make than whether it's right or wrong, because you've actually decided to do something. And so when you make that decision, I believe in you making that decision right, meaning you're going to make it right for you. You're either going to learn from something or you're going to get the success that you wanted from that decision. So if you look at the Latin root word of decide, I'm going to pronounce it wrong for all you Latin specialists out there. It's like decidere or something like that. And what that actually means in Latin, the decide part, decidere, actually means to cut off. So what it is once you've made a decision, now you're cutting off all other decisions that you think that you have to make because you've made your decision. And that decision is going to give you one of two outcomes, the result that you want or the lesson that you learned. And so that's what people think. So if you make the wrong decision, people like to say, I made the wrong decision. It doesn't mean like Monopoly where you don't pass go and you don't collect 200 and you go all the way back to the beginning. It's not like that. You literally just have to choose another path. So it's like, it's not that you're having to do a lot of work. You're just making decisions, but then you stop and then you have another fork in the road and you say, which way am I going to go, left or right? Just make a decision because you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. Does that help?
It does. You know, and I think too, back to what I say all the time, the path is not the path, but the path is the path.
Right.
You know, and I think we can look at decisions with a lot of regret. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, you either get the lesson that you get to learn or the opportunity that presents itself from that decision. And I think that's going to help with some of that decision fatigue, knowing, like you said, it's like, just make a decision.
And also what I'd like to share with your listeners also is that, does it necessarily have to be regret or can it just be a redirection? Because it's a regret if we think we made the wrong decision, but if we're able to make another decision, which we always are, then you can make the decision to actually learn from the results that you got from that or didn't get. And that's still going to go with that alignment. You've heard me say before is that sometimes the decisions, they're not black and white, but the choice is clear. And I know that is a powerful thing to think about because there are no right or wrong decisions. Because your right decision might be my wrong decision. My right decision might be your wrong decision. And it depends on you, the listener, and us.
Right. And then there's also the non-decision. Making a decision.
That's even worse. That's still a decision.
Right. So why is that? Why is not making a decision still a decision?
Well, because most of the world is always looking for, when I'm making a decision, what is the highest level of ROI that I can get, which is the return on investment. And that investment usually comes down to three type of things that are pretty much universal. It's time, energy, and money. And so you always have those three things in play. If you become overwhelmed or you're procrastinating and you start saying, I don't want to make this decision, then it's almost like there's a decision being made by default, which is to do nothing. And that brings in a whole nother world, which I like to call as the COI instead of ROI, return on investments, the COI, which is the cost of inaction. And also the cost of inexperience, because if you don't do something, you gain no experience. And that's even more deadly. But the reason why most people are always looking for the ROI and they discount the cost of inaction is because the cost of inaction doesn't necessarily come out of your pocketbook. Like a perfect example is I had one of my clients when I was having him, you know, seeing if he wanted to work with me. And I asked him this question. I said, if you had, it doesn't matter what this problem was. I said, if you had the answer to your problem that you're experiencing right now, what would that be worth to you on a monthly basis? And he said, it'd be worth $10,000. I said, great. Another powerful question I asked right after that is, how long have you been trying to solve for this problem? And guess what he said? 3 years. I could do the math real quick. It's 12 times 10,000. It's 3 years. It's $360,000. But he didn't quite feel the pain as much because he didn't have to actually pay that $360,000 to somebody. But then it made the investment to work with me look like nothing.
Right.
Because of that opportunity. So that's what I mean. So that cost of an action sometimes doesn't feel motivating enough because we don't feel it hitting our pocketbook. But if we treat it like that, we really look like that we could continue with inaction for a long time or being overwhelmed and say, I'm not going to do anything at all. Well, you're still doing something, which is now something like almost negatively.
And I think it's easy to look at that inaction and not really understand the cost of that inaction because I think the doubt just really overshadows, you know, can I do this? Or, you know, am I good enough to do this? Or, you know, there's a lot of doubts that go in to taking those next steps. Yeah. And I know one of the big things that you're passionate about is just making bold decisions. So how can we live a life that, you know, we can be bolder, we can make bolder decisions?
Yeah. That's a great question. It's almost like it goes back almost as far in time as like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, obviously the chicken had to come first to lay the egg, but then with like, no, the egg has to come first. How do you make the chicken? So the bold decision is coming into an opportunity to make a decision without bringing in any other past circumstances or conditions. Because in this moment, when you're about to make this decision, it's a blank slate. Like it is literally 100% possible. And people think, well, that's a little airy-fairy. Like, that's a little bit too, like, you can do it, you know, type of thing. No, because think about it. It really is 100% possible. But now I'm going to go back to the alignment with your core values. Your core values will already run a filter through whether you're going to do it or not. So here would be a perfect example if I said this to you, Holly, right now, or one of your listeners. I can get you to $1 million a year in 2024. Are you with me? Are you ready? You want to go for it?
If you're asking me, yeah.
I'm asking you. So let's go, right? Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure any of your listeners would be like, hell yeah, let's do this, right? No problem. I can do it, but it's going to cost you $650,000 in Facebook ads. Are you cool with that?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Holly here. I want to take a moment and first and foremost, thank you for tuning in to the newly rebranded Your Comeback Story podcast. Chances are, if you've been loving this podcast, I want to acknowledge that you're already on your way to creating your best life in 2024. And if that's the case, I want to help you to accomplish your goals first with your health and so that you can benefit from the ripple effect with your career, relationships, even finances. Because if you're burned out and putting yourself last, I believe that it's time for you to create your own comeback story with your health and with your life. But here's the one thing that's missing. Optimal health, it's not about protocols, plans, or numbers on a scale. Optimal health is about reversing the aging process, eating and exercising in a way that fuels and nourishes you, actually saying yes to yourself and feeling at home and at peace in your body. So what needs to happen? I like to say that the weight around your midsection will never disappear until you address the weight of the world that's on your shoulders. And that's why I created this brand new, totally free private podcast series. It's called Your Comeback Experience. You're going to experience this podcast episodes on this podcast over the next 5 weeks. But why wait? You can get this in a private podcast series and with a very special PDF companion so that you can follow along. In this 5-part series, you're going to dive deep into the Rocky-inspired framework to understand why you've had minimal success with diet and exercise and what to do instead. Okay, what are we going to do? First thing you're going to walk away with is understanding the cycle that sabotages your health, along with 3 ways to create peace with your past stories, your beliefs, and the triggers from the past. Number 2, you're going to discover the power of personal responsibility as it relates to the challenges in our society to help make healthy choices a part of your lifestyle. Number 3, you're going to understand why you might be stuck in the perfectionist trap. Oh, raise your hand if you're a fellow perfectionist. How to break out of it by integrating mindset shifts with action steps. And then the top 3 strategies that you need to become the new, healthier version of yourself. Number 4, you'll discover why it's important to coexist with stress. And then how to create your game plan to be more agile when the setbacks happen and when you don't feel supported. And then finally, number 5, you're going to walk away with your very own assessment of your health as it relates to your energy levels, your sleep, your metabolic health, and your weight, and a game plan going forward to make it all happen. And the best part, this private podcast series, it is totally free. Again, it's going to air on the podcast here over the next 5 weeks, but why wait? You can get immediate access to all of the episodes in a private podcast format. And again, you get a companion PDF so that you can follow along. To get the free podcast delivered right to your inbox, click on the link in the show notes or go to podcastholly.com. Super easy to remember, podcastholly.com, and the link is also in the show notes. See, now that comes up with a little resistance because that's a lot of money. But if that's going to result in $1 million and a machine that can keep spitting out $1 million, then that's something to consider.
Right. I mean, you're still making $350,000 like clockwork. Now, that was an extreme example because what you were coming back to about these bold decisions sometimes, what people will automatically put in their own way, their own obstacle, their own roadblock, is I'm not capable of doing that. And that is an inaccurate statement. You are capable of doing that. But if you go back to the 3 resources that are always usually in play, the universal resources, time, money, and energy. So now there's an alignment issue because you might not have the money alignment at that level to play that game. So does that mean now this is not available to you? No, what it now is doing is gratitude builds fortitude. Your gratitude for this lesson that you just learned. And now you know, like, if I were able to have the resources, as in monetary this time for this, and I had that, I could do that. So now it's kind of exciting because this is now, it's one of the pulls. It's now pulling you forward saying, it's now time for me to learn that skill or that capability to do that. And that should be very exciting. And that should be possibility driven. That's the way I look at it.
And one thing, and I know that we always joke calling you the chief onion peeling officer because
your listeners away.
I know, right? It's just like you go through one layer, usually with some tears, and then there's another layer, and then more tears, and then another layer and more tears. But really, it goes back to having a coach who believes in you before you can believe in yourself. So why do you see that that's so important to have someone in your life, you know, a coach or a mentor or a colleague or a peer or someone in your business and then in your life? Why is it so important to have that person?
I love that you asked that question. And it's for the exact reason that you just opened up and said, is that somebody believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And also, as a coach or as another coach for somebody else and one of your listeners, especially for me and you working together, I don't have the same limiting beliefs that you have. I have my own, and that's why I hire coaches to help me with mine, right? Can't see what you can't see. But for you, it's easy for me to be able to see that and listen to it because I don't have to listen to all the monkey mind that goes on in your head that is fighting against whatever it is. I just see pure possibility. I see pure potential. And I'm not talking about in a, you know, Disney movie type of a thing. I'm talking about real stuff because the only thing that keeps on showing up for the person that we're working with as a coach is going to be those beliefs that are limiting for them, but they are not limiting for me. I don't share those. So with you and I, some of the beliefs that you share, I don't share those beliefs, but they feel very real for you. Just like mine feel very real for me when I'm working with my coach. And it's like, oh, sometimes you just don't want to let it go because you've been fighting for that limitation for so long that it's almost like become part of your identity. And that's the part where don't make me sing Let It Go from Frozen because it's its 10-year anniversary right now, I found out apparently. So I'm not gonna sing it, but you know, we gotta let it go because it's not serving us anymore. So it's really looking at it as more of a challenge in our own internal. That's gonna be the biggest roadblocks ever. And the fortitude that is gonna be drawn from the gratitude is what breaks down those barriers. Just I'm grateful to even be here right now. I'm grateful for this opportunity, but not in a Disney movie type of way. Because I still have to build fortitude with this perseverance, resilience, all of that that goes with it. And it's learning a lesson after lesson after lesson. And like you and I have talked about, I'm all about holding your vision, not your view, because your view is limited. And it's like the horizon. I want to get there. Well, have you ever tried it? You can't get there because it keeps moving. And just like that target that we all or your listeners are looking for, that might be it there, but it's going to keep moving in a good way.
So what's been one of the biggest obstacles that you've overcome, one of the biggest limiting beliefs that you've had to overcome, and how did you do it?
It's the same thing that I'm just talking to you about. It's crazy when you work up against that, and then I catch myself as a coach, go, wait a second. So it's like my personal evolution has been one ginormous self-development discovery. To answer your question, is one of the mental models, I guess if you want to call it that helps me the most, is I'm constantly challenging my assumptions because my assumption is a belief or a limiting belief. We don't even call it a limiting belief. We just literally call it a belief. And that is why we do that, because we believe. A belief really means a personal truth. But there's also been studies that show that we keep talking about what it is, and it gets even more diluted and convoluted. And it becomes even more powerful, even though if we really went back, it literally changes all the time. And they've done studies on this where they've asked people like, you know, 10 years later about something, and they recorded everything they said, and they talked about the same incident, and it was completely different. So imagine if you're, you know, we think we've got great memories, the majority of us anyway, but can you imagine if your story is always changing? How do you know what to believe? So you've got to challenge those assumptions. And maybe that was the old Holly or the old Mark. And now adapting and challenging yourself and championing yourself to challenge those assumptions that may have felt real back then, but no longer now.
And if the story keeps changing, that's evidence that the story can keep changing.
Yeah. It's a never-ending story.
That means that we get to define every single day what that story is.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. So, Mark, we've covered a lot. You've given us so many great nuggets. Is there anything else that you want to add to this or anything really that's on your heart that you want to share?
So going back to thinking about me sharing that it's about holding the vision, not the view. If there's something that your listeners take away from this, it could be that one statement and you could just write it down and think about it. The view is literally how far we can see. But the vision is how far our mind's eye can go. And so there's going to be a battle between the two of them because I just can't see that kind of success. That's the view. But when you start talking, when we talk building your mission, your vision, your purpose, all of those things, that's the pull, not the push. The view is the push. Because I want to get to that end line where in real world, if you're running a marathon or whatever, there really is an end line. It's that that's your view. But nothing has to stay like that. Nothing is stagnant. Literally everything in nature changes. And so I would just say that who we are today might be different than we are tomorrow. And I'll sum it up in one fun little meme that I saw. And I know I shared this with you, but I think listeners will love this. Is there was a caterpillar and there was a butterfly and they were having coffee together. And what was so brilliant about this, it literally had two statements. There's like five words total. So the caterpillar is sitting there having coffee with the butterfly and goes, the caption above the caterpillar's head was, "You've changed," to the butterfly. And the butterfly's caption says, "We're supposed to." And so we're part of nature. We are meant to change. We are meant to evolve. And so who you are right now is not going to be the same person that you're going to be unless you become consumed by the past and judging yourself from where you were from the past or how you're feeling, you know, in this actual moment. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing is the evolution is knowing that we are a part of nature. And I'll give one more nature example because it has to do with the fear that comes up. Is if you look at nature and there's a bunch of gazelles that live on the plains of Africa and they're eating, they have to eat. And there's also lions that are right next to them. But you see the lion and the gazelle together and they're both eating. Now, in our mind's eye, we are thinking, there's a freaking lion here right now and they could eat me. But here's the thing is that in nature, nobody moves unless there's clear and present danger. There's no clear and present danger when they are both eating together on the plains until they start to see that lion making an aggressive move. And then one will let them know. And then all of a sudden they run like crazy, right? But for us as human beings, we have to remember we're part of nature. We need to stop thinking that everything is clear and present danger because it's not. Danger is not real and fear is a choice. Because that fear, for the most times, if you really look at it, when you challenge your assumptions, is that thing that you fear really going to happen or has it ever happened? And it's probably 99.99% of the time that it is just what we made up in our heads and then we just can't let go because it allows us to stay here and stay stuck and not move forward.
And I also think circling back to the decision, you know, we can either view that decision as being at one with the lion, or we can view that decision as being chased by the lion.
I love it. Yeah, they say that fear stands for two things. It's either, I'll use the clean version, it's forget everything and run, right? Or it's feel everything and rise. Which means we have that conversation about fear, just invite it in when it doesn't feel like it's such an outsider. And you can think of that as the lion on the plain with the gazelles. You're the gazelle. There's a lion. But guess what? That lion's already full. He doesn't present any clear and present danger. And usually we look at fear as if it's like this, you know, 100-yard football field. And it's you've got machine gun turrets. You've got flamethrowers. You've got trenches. And then at the very end, you got to fight Godzilla just to be able to get through this thing, right? But really what it is such a thin veil that we just have to wisp to the side with our finger. And we're already on the other side of fear. And it was nothing like that because action is what kills fear on contact. The more you're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and you're not actually performing, you're not actually being committed and utilizing energy over effort to go after your commitments of what you want, there's no room for fear. Now, is it easier said than done? It's a challenge. It is. And it's recognizing it every single day because that challenge that stops you is going to turn into overwhelm or it's going to turn into procrastination. It's got many ugly heads. But yeah, just really keeping, again, that binary thing for the, probably one of the other biggest things I would share with the listeners is making it about that the light is either on or off. I'm either in the game or I'm out of the game. No in between because in between in the fence is the most uncomfortable place you could ever be, literally. It would hurt. So choose one side. You're going to get off or you're going to get in the game.
Oh, this has been so great, Mark Bailey. I really appreciate your time and being here on the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast. And just want to express, you know, my appreciation to you and, you know, how much you've really helped me grow as a human being personally and professionally throughout the last few years. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that and allowing me to be with your listeners. It's been a pleasure being here and hope I've provided some great value for them.
We have some real talk here for a minute, just between us girls. Can we have a conversation about what the end of the day looks like? I'm talking about that moment when you've crossed off all the things on your list. Okay, they're not all completed, but you're done for the day. And when I say done for the day, I mean you are done. And you sit on the couch to actually relax for a few minutes before bedtime. You know that moment of pure bliss when your bum hits the couch cushion and then you sit back in this heap of exhaustion. You pull the blanket over your legs, literally breathe for the first time all day. And it's not even 1 minute later. And it's your spouse, hey hun, your kid, mom. Or you pick up the phone to scroll on social media and then your boss sends you an email you need to respond to. Or you see something that like, oh, shoot, I forgot to do something that can't wait for tomorrow. And then the dog's doing the potty dance because spouse or kid never took them for a walk, even though you asked them to. And it's that moment that you feel this resentment fill your body. And then you probably feel guilt on top of it because this is the life that you've always dreamed of. You've got a great career and a great family. So you might be wondering, why do I feel so drained? Why is my life sucking every ounce of energy out of my body? I'm here to tell you that the world is not going to crumble if you say yes to yourself, but you will eventually crumble if you don't. You deserve to take care of yourself and your health. And it begins by saying yes to you, which is probably the hardest yes that you're ever going to say. And that's why I created a very special private podcast series. It's called Your Comeback Experience, and it's specifically for you, the woman who has a track record of success in everything that you do, but you are burned out and something's still missing. And somewhere along the way, your health got pushed to the side. It's a secret podcast, meaning it's not public. You need to have an invitation to access it. And I want to invite you. So to get this free private podcast delivered right to your inbox, click on the link in the show notes or go to podcastholly.com. Super easy to remember, podcastholly.com. The link is also in the show notes.